Okay, here we go. So, thank you, Munya, for the word about Emmanuel and the beginning of time. We can easily remember that in our classrooms, can't we? The word Emmanuel means God is with us. And that's so fantastic in every situation, however difficult it is in class or in the playground or wherever you are. Emmanuel, we remember that name. God is with me. And Josiah's name was, God listens to us and he supports us. How wonderful. So we're going to have a quick run through, a lightning run through of Josiah's life with a little bit extra added on that you didn't hear at Carrotty Wood about Josiah. Something a bit surprising about Josiah. So the first thing was that Josiah, he chose God, didn't he? He chose Jesus. He was the boy who chose well. And did Josiah finish well? We'll find out about that question later. But this is all about how to finish well. It's easy to start well, isn't it? But not so easy to finish well. This summertime, how many of you had a great time at New Day? Yeah. How many had a great time at Carrotty Wood? How many had a great time in church? Yeah, fantastic. But carrying on is the challenge, isn't it? As we get into back to school next month, how do we carry on with Jesus? We need to finish well. Now, going on to Josiah, his great-granddad was Hezekiah. His granddad was Manasseh. His dad was Amon. And we talked about him. And we're going to have a quick look at Hezekiah first of all. Was he a good starter? Was he a good finisher? Did Hezekiah start well? Yes, he started well. It says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but he kept all God's commandments. Do you remember it took 16 days for him to clear out the temple? The temple was loaded with idols. And the picture there is if we don't fill our hearts with God and the things of God and the words of God, our heart will always draw in other things. So one of the secrets of going on with God is we fill our heart with Jesus and with prayer and with his word. And he finished well. It says he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, and he was successful in everything he did. And God wants us to succeed, doesn't he? We're not always going to be top of the class. We're not always going to be the most incredible sports person. We can't do anything we want. We can't have anything we dream for. But God wants us to be successful in the things that he has called us to do and to be. And he wants us to be like Jesus most of all. And the Bible says there was none like him among all the kings of Judah. He started well, he finished well, and the Lord was with him. And then we get on to granddad, who was Manasseh, Josiah's granddad. And you can see this thing here. That means bad, and the red is good. Okay, so he started badly and he finished well. As somebody over here, well, who was it over here? I think it was you, Joe, wasn't it? Said that Manasseh, he started badly and but he went well. So he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. In fact, he was so terrible, the Bible says he filled the streets of Jerusalem with blood. He sacrificed children. He was a terrible man. He sacrificed children to his idols. He was really, really bad. He rebuilt the high places that Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed, and it went very badly for him. Within a very short time, he was captured by the king of Assyria, and he was bound with hooks. And do you remember how they took him to Babylon? They put hooks in his nose, and they put a chain on the hooks, and they dragged him to Babylon that way. Who would like that? Things didn't go well for him because he turned his back on God. Manasseh finished well, however. He chose God. While he was in prison, do you remember? He cried out to God from the bottom of his heart. The Bible says he humbled himself greatly. And even though he'd done terrible things, when we really mean to turn to God, when we really, the word in the Bible is repent, we turn around and we mean it, God will always, always forgive us. And so his kingship was restored. And he went back to Jerusalem and he restored the temple and he built the things that he had broken down. So he was a bad guy that became a good guy because he chose. he chose God. So Ammon, his father, he started badly. And do you think he finished well? He started bad. How did he finish? What do you think, Daniel? No, he finished badly as well. He started off, he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He served the idols that his father served. He worshipped them, and he finished badly. It says he abandoned the Lord, the God of his fathers. And he didn't humble himself like Manasseh had done. He didn't humble himself before the Lord as Manasseh, his father, had humbled himself. So what happened? 2 years later, I think it was, he was killed by his servants. He was such a bad guy, his servants couldn't stand him. And so they plotted against him and they actually killed him. And his son was called Josiah. So there was some hope for Israel, Josiah, the boy king. And I wonder how Josiah finished. He started really well, didn't he? As Job pointed out, at the age of 8, here's the memory verse. Can we all say it together? 2 Kings 22, right. Let's stand up, shall we? Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left. 2 Kings 22, verses 1 and 2. You can sit down. Good to stand up and speak the word of God, isn't it? So what happened to him? He started praying 8 years old. Who here is 8 years old? Last time we had one person. Okay, who's 7 years old? Who's 9 years old? Yep, we got some people about that age. It says he started praying. He opened his heart to God, as many of the children did at Carrotty Wood. He didn't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. What does that actually mean? He chose, do you remember, to obey his mom. Do you know the Bible says that the main commandment to children is that they obey their mother and father. If you want to please God, that's the first way of doing it. He was kind to his brother and sister. I'm sure he had a lot of homework to do. You know, the kings in those days, as they became king, they had to learn the first 5 chapters of the Bible off by heart. So he had a lot of homework to do. I believe he was a thankful person, and he prayed. He wasn't a liar. He didn't steal. He didn't bully. He didn't swear. He didn't go around with the crowd. He decided he was going to be different. But most of all, he prayed. He talked to God. And then at the age of 16, it says he began to seek the Lord. Anybody look for something they've lost? Anybody here? Mauricio was talking about this last week, wasn't he? Yeah. You lost something precious. Tell me what it is you lost. You look for something you lost.
Oh, my bank card.
Oh, wow. That's serious. I've done that so many times. Anybody else? What did you lose, Joseph?
I lost my bank card as well.
Whoa! Someone's rich on this church. Anybody else? Don't tell me you lost your bank card, Dan.
No, I thought I lost Mina once. She was in the house, though. But then, basically, Liz decided that she was going to go Sainsbury's with her and not tell me. So I was just like...
So basically, you're blaming it on your wife. Is that right? Repent. Repent. Yeah, well, we've heard lots of people in the church seem to have lost their children. We really need to pray, don't we? Okay. And then it says in the 18th year of King Josiah, he started repairing the house of the Lord. This was his life work, and it took many years. And it says of Josiah, this is what it says. So you'd think he finished well, wouldn't you? It says, before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, all his soul, and with all his strength. But actually, he didn't finish well. This is what happened. It says, after all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, something happened. Something happened. Actually, it was more that something didn't happen with Josiah. Something stopped. And the rest of Josiah's life, you'll find this record that he never prayed to God. He stopped praying. There's a picture of him here praying with a big red cross over it. He stopped praying. He became independent I was asking Abigail this morning what independent meant, and she said, doing stuff by yourself. And apparently in school you can get something the teacher puts on your report, works independently. And it's a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing not to always depend on other people. It's a good thing to be self-sufficient in that way. But you see, with Josiah, it was different. He was doing stuff, but without God. And that's the kind of independence that God doesn't want. You know, the Bible says he's Emmanuel. He says that he is the Lord, our helper. And I think just about every day I thank God. God, I'm so amazed that you want to be my helper, the God of the universe that created this incredible thing. Anybody seen Jupiter hanging across the evening sky recently? So amazing. God made the whole thing. Anybody seen that picture of the cell that is so complex? They've just done an MRI scan on a human cell. It's so complex and so busy and so active. And this is the God who said, I will be your helper. Oh, but I thought I was God's helper. No. God said, I want to help you. How amazing. But he became independent. He decided that he was going to do stuff without God. He was a good king. He knew what to do now. So he took his foot off the pedal. He stopped praying. And that's what we as a church should never do. Psalm 106:13 says this, but they quickly forgot what he had done. And they acted without waiting for his advice. Anybody ever done that? I've done that so many times. And yet there's something about that that God really doesn't like. Because he wants to advise us. He wants to counsel us. But we won't wait. We're too busy. We're too impatient. And I believe as a church, God's brought us to this wonderful point where he's brought us together. We're sharing this wonderful building that he has given to us. And we have a whole community of people in our schools and our workplaces and in this area that we want to reach. And we don't know what to do. And that's where God wants us right now, because he wants us to pray and say, Lord, what is your counsel? What is your advice? What is on your heart? What order would you like to do things in? He wants us to be a dependent people. But Josiah stopped depending on God. That meant that he stopped asking God for things and he stopped listening. And there's another story at the end of Josiah's life, which we're going to finish with now. And it's about King Necho. And I don't know whether you call him Necho or Necho, but whatever. He was the king of Egypt. And he went up to fight at Carchemish, which was a famous battle on the Euphrates. So he went all the way through Israel to Babylon to fight with this king in the Euphrates River. And Josiah went out to meet him. But he didn't go out to meet him in a friendly way. Josiah thought, oh, the king of Egypt, what do we do with the kings of Egypt? We fight them, so we'll just go out and fight them. But there's something missing in the story. What didn't he do at this point? He didn't seek the Lord. He didn't pray. He didn't ask the Lord. He didn't wait for his counsel. And it says that the king sent envoys to him. This is the king of Egypt saying, what have we to do with each other, king of Judah? I'm not coming against you this day, but against the house with which I am at war. And God has commanded me to hurry. Cease opposing God, who is with me, lest he destroy you. So he relied on his own wisdom. He stopped listening to God. And the king of Egypt said, look, your God has sent me to do this. Don't get in his way. But by now he was switched off. He'd stopped listening to God. And it says in verse 22, nevertheless, Josiah did not turn away from him. So he thought, I know how to do this. He disguised himself in order to fight with him. I'll just go, I'll dress up as somebody else because I want to be in this battle. And if they don't know it's me, they won't kill me. He stopped listening, didn't he? And he went out to the battle. But things went very badly for Josiah. Very badly indeed. And it says, and the archers shot King Josiah. And the king said to his servants, take me away, for I am badly wounded. How sad. What a sad end to this wonderful Josiah's life. And there we are. I've got a picture of that arrow poor Josiah, that an arrow found him and God allowed him to die, as partly as a lesson to us that we need to stay depending. We need to stay trusting. We need to stay listening. And so it says, his servants took him out of the chariot. They carried him in his second chariot and brought him to Jerusalem. And he died and was buried in the tomb with his fathers. And Jeremiah also uttered a lament for Josiah. Do you remember Jeremiah the prophet? All the singing men and singing women have spoken of Josiah in their lament to this day. It was a very sad day in Israel. They'd lived with this wonderful king, and there was no king like him for many years. But in the end, he stopped listening to God. So, what's in this for us? How can we not be like how Josiah finished? And I just want to just give you three words to remember. You can remember this in reception. You can remember this in year six. You can remember this wherever you are. We can all remember this. This is for the youngest and this is for the oldest. We can all remember these three words. Sorry, thank you, and please. It's just a really good way of involving God in our lives. Is anybody here sorry this morning that they've not listened to God or they've stopped listening? They've been too independent. You don't have to put your hands up, but I've got to put my hand up for that. Even in preparing this talk and this crazy, crazy week I've had, I know part of it is God's letting me get under pressure to teach me to depend on him more and not to try and do it all myself. And I want to say sorry to God. I said sorry to him this morning, and I'm saying sorry to him today. And when we say sorry, what does God say? He says, I forgive you. And he washes us in his blood because of what Jesus did when he died on the cross. How amazing. We can all say sorry. It's a very quick way of getting back to God, isn't it? Just saying sorry for our sins, the thing we do wrong. And thank you. What a wonderful way to stay in touch. Anybody thank God for their breakfast today? Yeah? Good to see. Anybody thank God for their bed? Anybody thank God for a good night's sleep? Anybody thank God for a little night's sleep? Me and Joe. Anybody thank God for the mouse in their house? Thank you. In all circumstances, thank you, God. We can go to the picnic and we can say thank you. You can sit in your reception class and say, Jesus, thank you for my teacher. Thank you that I graduated to this in my life. We can thank you in year six that part of our school is ending in a year and we're going to be going to secondary school. We can thank God that he is with us. Even if we don't like the kids around us or we've got difficult teachers, we can say, thank you, Jesus, that you love me and you give me grace. You're going to support me and help me in my difficult situation. Maybe your family is difficult. Thank you, Jesus. You give me help. You give me your Holy Spirit. Often families are difficult, you know. Most families are difficult. They're the best and the worst often because we expect more of our families, don't we? So we're more disappointed and we have to pray sometimes for more grace. And then please, don't forget to ask God for things. I love the things that God asks. Joe and I, we ask for God for many things. We pray a lot, Joe and I. I'm not kind of bigging ourselves up in this, but we've learned to pray a lot. And as I was sharing with somebody the other day, we don't spend a lot of time praying together. We don't have long prayer sessions, but we do pray often. We pray at breakfast. We pray for our day. We pray at night. We pray for protection. We thank him for the day. If we're in the car going to visit somebody, we'll pray about where we're going. If there's a difficult situation, my son lives in Portugal, sometimes gets in difficult scrapes. God, we bring this to you, Lord. Would you come and help all the time? Please, please, please. And God loves to hear that word. So what are the three words? Sorry, thank you, please. We're going to finish just now by singing that wonderful song we learned at Carity Wood. Sandra, do you want to come up and help us with this and Dan? Thank God for our musicians. We got so many of them. We're so grateful, aren't we? Amazing. I choose you again and again. We choose you, Dan, don't we, again and again. But we're going to sing I Choose You Again and Again. Shall we stand? Who enjoyed singing this at Carity Wood? Who felt God as we sang this song? Because he loves to hear this. All through the day, we're choosing him. And this morning, even from New Day, even from Carity Wood, you may have drifted a little bit away from him. And we can say, Lord, I'm choosing you again. I want to choose you tomorrow morning. This difficult situation, Lord, only you know about. I'm choosing you. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing this. Father, we just thank you. We just thank you. We thank you for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross. You carried all our sins, Lord. And because you shed your blood, we could be forgiven. Thank you, Lord, if you could forgive Manasseh, you can forgive me, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Lord, would you wash away our sins this morning as we say sorry to you, Lord. Sorry for our independence. Sorry when we've not trusted in you, Lord. Sorry when we've not waited for your advice. Sorry when we didn't give our lives to you and ask you to help us with it, Lord. Jesus, would you forgive us this morning? And we do want to just thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your support. Thank you for Munya's word that you are Emmanuel. God is with us, even this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the picnic we're going to go to afterwards. Thank you for fellowship. Thank you for friends. Thank you for the church around us, Lord. We praise you. We thank you, O God, this morning. And we just say, please, Lord, just want to ask, Lord, that these words would remain in our hearts. And even as we sing now, I choose you again, Lord. And the thing that we're asking you, that we're choosing you for, Lord, would you even come upon our hearts, Lord, and give us courage. Give us faith, Lord, for the things that we face. In Jesus' name, amen.